Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug. It's Thursday, March 7th, 2024. Happy New Year.
Feels like the momentum's dying down.
Which part?
Many months.
How happy I sounded.
Yeah,
I mean, I never sound that happy when I say it, but yeah, I guess I could have put some more zhuzh on that one. Do you watch America's Got Talent?
Not every week, but yeah, I've seen some episodes.
You've seen it, sure, of course. Yeah. Who hasn't? Who hasn't? It's been a fixture for many years. Well, if you were a regular watcher, or even a casual watcher, you're probably aware of our guest today, because it's a comedian who went further than most comedians dare to on that show. It's Alex Hooper.
Oh, hell yeah.
I like to hear you pretending to be surprised by who the guest is. Okay, my next question for you, Doug Mellard, is do you watch The Price is Right?
Yeah, sure do.
I knew the answer to that already, actually, but I'm only bringing it up now as a tease because there's something I want to talk about that's TPIR related.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait. That's a nice tease.
And of course, we'll also talk about Alex Hooper's name. Let's go to work. Hello, Alex Hooper. Happy New Year. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for the well wishes. Maybe a little too late to say Happy New Year, but you know what? From you, I'll take it.
What do you got? Some sort of, what are you on, like the Mayan calendar?
Yeah, I basically, my you know.
What are you, some sort of traditionalist?
No, if anything, I have transcended space and time, and therefore my new year happened many, many moons ago when you were still probably celebrating Easter or something like that.
I just appreciate the pushback because most people have been going along with it, and I've been saying, you know, I just want to see how long before people start to snap and say, you can't say that anymore. And so... thank you for passing our first test today.
Well, I may be positive, but I think it's good to be contentious at the same time.
Exactly. this is an exciting episode because a lot of times I'll trot out guests that either Doug or myself do not know or have not met, but we both know you in this particular case. Doug Mellard and Alex Hooper, remember your first meeting?
Oh, do you? I don't know that I do.
I kind of want to say it was at the Comedy Garage, I believe it was called.
Wow. Could that be? Yeah, it could be.
I feel like I was only two or three years into comedy, and there was this show on the west side of LA. Was it called the Comedy Garage?
Yeah, I believe so.
Or the comedy carport or something like that.
I think garage.
Yeah, whatever.
Comedy Carvana. Yeah.
It was a staple for a while, yeah.
It was this great West Side show, and I never actually got to do it, but I used to go every once in a while, and I remember meeting like Tig Notaro there, and I feel like for some reason, my memory pinpoints us together frolicking through a carport drinking Busch Light or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that sounds, I tend to frolic when I drink Busch Light. So
it definitely makes me skip.
Checks out.
All right. Okay. So, my first thing I want to just mention, it's not the elephant in the room necessarily, but it's certainly an elephant that you are proud to be rid of, Alex, and that is that you are cancer-free.
That is correct. Yes, I had stage 3 Hodgkin's lymphoma. I am almost a year out of being cleared from it. Not quite a full year. So we can have this conversation for about another 3 weeks.
Well, you really are rigid about when, you know, when it's a new year and when it's a new...
When, yeah, this is my year personally. It's like, when did I have cancer? When did I beat cancer? Okay, that's my timeline now.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I mean, it's
cut off for certain expressions, and I'm free of cancer. You're going to stop saying in a few weeks.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm so proud of it, and I'm so happy that it is that I got through it. It's a weird.
I feel about the new year.
I mean, they are both huge achievements, Doug, that we share together.
Yeah, you know? We both got through it somehow.
Right. I know how many rounds of chemotherapy you had to do to get through December 31st, but it's
you win, it's, you win.
It's one of those weird things, though, where like I feel great, and people still come up to me and they're like, "How are you feeling? Are you okay?" And I'm here. Like I'm standing here. I'm talking to you. I'm out in the world. If you don't see me for long periods of time, that's when you can start to worry about me, because that means something is horrifically wrong.
Yeah. Check in with the people you're not hearing from, not from the guy that's standing right there in a fun, sparkly robe.
Exactly. And I get it. Look, I understand, because it is like, honestly, like cancer was, I literally put it right in people's faces. And I think it makes you confront your own mortality in a lot of ways, because I was 36 when I got diagnosed, and you don't expect that from somebody so young, and especially someone as, I'll just say it, as vibrant and vivacious as myself.
Yeah, it was certainly must have been extremely unexpected, but I'm happy that you managed to get through it. And this was all after your whole experience with America's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, because that was America's Got Talent was 2018, and then I went back on the show in 2020, making it all the way to the quarterfinals, got to the live shows, and I tried to go back on America's Got Talent after I got diagnosed with cancer. I was like, hey, you guys know how you love really sad stories of triumph and hope? Guess who's got one? And they were like, yeah, we're not interested in you anymore. Thank you very much.
Wow.
No, I mean, it's for the best.
But do you think that that's because, like, part of the fun of your appearances on that show was that you were like a comic that would give shit to the judges?
Definitely. Oh yeah, I was.
So you
heel.
Think they just don't want more of that, really, from especially from someone who's now got a touching story.
Right. Like my whole pitch to them. My pitch was, hey, I roasted the judges. We've done that 3 times now. What if I roast cancer, which is so much more relatable and ubiquitous as far as it will really like reach people? And they were like, ooh, okay. Yeah, actually, we like this a lot. And we went back and forth for a while. And then they just said, nope, not right now. So, you know.
Weird.
It's fun. They don't pay you anyway. You know, you get paid in other dividends from the show because you have that credit and it puts you back in the spotlight and things. But it's one of those things where my wife was almost like, why are you going back down into that well, baby Jessica? Get out of there.
Because you just never know. I think it was good that you, you know, did it again, because it really is it's such a big showcase, and it's so hard to do comedy well on that show and to advance, because you know it just doesn't play like most of the acts these days are death defying or you know have a you know they're already signed to some record label and we'll find out about that later, you know, that kind of thing. Like, you know, it's not really an amateur contest.
No, they're literally, I mean, at this point, they're pinpicking people from, like, who have huge social media followings. You're like, wow, who is this brand new person they found? And then you're like, oh, they have 2.4 million followers. Like, wow. They're not doing the R&D that, you know, used to happen. They're just basically finding a finished product and going like, can we latch ourselves onto this?
Yeah, the last few seasons have really been like, you know, the judges going, so, you know, where'd you put this act together? What have you been doing? And they go, well, we were on AGT Sweden, or we were on AGT Britain. Like, it's whatever, you know, they're just like these farm leagues that are sending like their top talent to America's Got Talent, but it's just hilarious to call it America's Got Talent because the top 10 every season lately is just very international.
Very much so. And my friend Seth Word, who is a great comedic talent. He's not a stand-up, but he's a clown, basically. And he does all these weird animal costumes.
He's a clown.
You know who he is, right?
Yeah. Does he have like severe, like, has he ever hurt himself doing that stuff?
I don't know if he's ever actually really injured himself, but I mean, there's definitely times when he is teetering on the cliff of self-impairment. But you know, he went to Czechoslovakia's Got Talent or some weird thing like that, where they were like, we're going to need you to put on that giraffe costume and get over to Eastern Europe right now, Seth Word.
Oh my God. That's so funny because it's like they keep having him back, but the whole attitude is the judges are mad when they see him. And like, it's like this weird, like almost like he stormed the gates and nobody, you know, nobody said yes to him coming back on, even though it's obviously the production's decision.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing is like eventually I think it's kind of what happened with me, too, is he was a crowd favorite and they were like, OK, if we put him through a couple of rounds, then he like legally can't come back to the show. So let's just push him through to almost the end. We'll put him on a good ride and then we can be rid of this curse forever.
They'll still, I swear, I feel like he'll be back again just because it's just like, because also the show's really kind of backed off of, and I think it's just because it's clearly mental illness a lot of times that leads to the worst acts, you know, and I think the show itself is backed off of the like acts that are so bad that, you know, all the judges are mean to that act. Like maybe an act that's not everybody's cup of tea will be on there. But like not one that all the judges are just mean to, you know.
But that's where I think honestly, like I'm not a big fan of the show or anything like that. Like I don't watch it on my own unless a friend is on it. But I think where they go wrong, the what they're missing is that whole like show the auditions of that psychopathic person that like is standing on their head reciting Shakespeare while drinking a cup of tea, and everyone's like, "What the hell is happening right now?"
Hey, like, I had a good act on there.
What did you do?
I stood on my head while I drank tea and recited Shakespeare.
I do remember the rooibos spilling off of your lips. It was quite it was quite romantic. But yeah, it's just one of those things where I think that's what a show like that, you need to see the actual people who are going for it, not just the people that have been cherry picked by producers because they're already somewhat famous at the thing they're doing.
Yeah, and also just skilled at doing something that's really super dangerous, but the show itself is confident they're not going to die on television, even though that is the show has its own issues with that sort of thing. But we're not here to talk about AGT. We got to ask you some questions about you and your name, Alex Hooper. But first, some warm-up questions. Starting with, actually, I got one more question before we get to the warm-up questions. I'm sorry, this is, it's going off script. I brought it up to Doug earlier in the cold open. How much of a fan are you, Alex? I know you're, as a stand-up comic, your days can tend to be free. So how much time do you spend watching The Price is Right?
Oh, at this point, none at all. But I used to, when I was a kid, I watched it all of the time. But I still love it.
Okay, well, you'll appreciate this. And Doug Mellard's wife had a nasty incident on that show because she got stuck playing Pathfinder, which is one of the more difficult games. So anytime she sees a path, it haunts her. So Doug Mellon, of course, is very familiar with the show. So, you know, people spin the wheel in the showcase showdown to determine who goes to the showcase. And then two players each see a bunch of crap and they bid on it. And whoever is closest without going over, you know, wins everything. So
yeah.
I the reason I'm bringing this up at all is because just recently, for the second time in the history of the show, at the showcase, the second bidder just sort of decided that the first bidder is probably going to be going over. So as long as you don't go over, you could be off by any amount if the other person went over. And so for the second time in history of the show, the person, you know, did that dollar bid, just bid $1.
Wow.
And this was on nighttime showcases, right? So because the first woman, she bid like $63,000 or something like that. And because it was a pretty big showcase, it was a trip to, you know, Monte Carlo or something, and a car and $5,000 in cash. So she bids $60,000+. And the audience kind of goes, ooh, like they all kind of act like she overbid. But, you know, the showcases are pretty expensive when this is the nighttime version of the show. And so everything's almost doubled. So anyway, the other guy, he just figures from the audience reaction or something. I don't know. I'd love to see an interview with this guy because he just goes, you know, $1. And Drew's like, all right, $1. And the woman went over, but her showcase was only like $59,000. So she wasn't crazy off. And I think her seeming like she was crazy off is what made him do the dollar thing. So he kind of screwed himself over with it, but he won ultimately. And his showcase was like $49,000. So Drew very gleefully goes, you were off by $48,600. Like he wrote out the entire amount again, minus $1. But anyway, it was, I'm just excited to talk about it because I just saw the clip today and then went and found the episode on Paramount Plus and, you know, watched the whole thing to see, you know, I wanted to see how everything played out, like how the two of them got to the showcase. Like she won a good deal of prizes earlier in the show. So I didn't feel so bad for her getting screwed over by that situation, but she bid over anyway, so whatever he did, it didn't really affect her one way or the other.
I almost feel like that's an origin story for like when she's in a mental institution and they're like, oh yeah, that's Greta Hillsworth, all she ever says is I was only $3,400 over, I was only $3,400 over, I was only $3,400 over, I don't understand.
Her name was Allison, and the reason I remember it is because Drew pointed out that his middle name is Allison.
Really?
Never
heard that.
His parents convinced him that that was a masculine. They spelled it with two L's, and they said that was the masculine spelling of Allison. I think I've heard that before, Allison. Marion is another one that, like, because John Wayne's real name is Marion.
What?
Yeah. Whoa. Isn't that wild?
Marion Wayne.
No, I think he's even got a different last name.
Oh, yeah, it's probably
Marion. It's like Marion Copperbottom or something.
Somebody was like, you might be the most handsome man that's ever been on television. We're going to make you a star of every single Western and big film there ever is. But Marion, there's an issue.
Yeah, that's not going to fly. Evelyn is another female-ish sounding name that goes to dudes occasionally.
No, okay, hang on a second. Now we're just talking silly. There's no man out there named Evelyn.
And Leslie, that's a good one.
Yes, Leslie, oh, I do know, Leslie. Of course. Leslie Nielsen, one of the greats.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's any young, you know, child Leslies that are male.
Yeah,
you never know.
I feel like if Leslie Nielsen wasn't Leslie Nielsen, it would be a different story for Leslies out there. Male Leslie.
You know they're rebooting Police Squad.
Yeah.
With why? Liam Neeson. And well, because Liam Neeson said yes, that's why. Because if there's anybody out there that can play serious while stupid shit's going on, it's Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a good choice just because, I mean, the whole thing was he did play it extremely straight, and that's what made those movies so legendary and hilarious.
Yeah.
So if they, it's, you know, it's all in the writing of those movies, though. Like, it will be Liam Neeson's performance, but if he's himself, it's going to be completely up to the writing to sell those scripts.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. But it is still fun to think about it. But the airplane, top secret, police squad style of movie, just even the people that created it themselves couldn't end up matching their own work because it's like it had been done. You know what I mean? It's just such a specific kind of thing. And there's other ones that are funny, like, real quickly, what's your favorite, not Airplane itself, but movie that ended up following after Airplane and being of a similar style? I've got one in mind.
Immediately, what comes to my mind is Hot Shots.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I haven't seen them in a long time, but I remember them being hilarious.
Yeah, even Part D was, you know, fun just to say Hot Shots Part D.
Yeah, totally.
But, what's another one that was, is there another one that was good?
Oh man, I feel like,
I mean, like if you're going on that path, like Scary Movie kind of goes along that ride.
Well, I like Scary Movie 5, or, you know, the higher Scary Movies, like the 4 and 5, I think are my favorites.
I don't even remember them well enough to give you an opinion.
Those have some funny parts, you know, cause like Anna Faris became more the focus after the first two. What's his name? Simon Rex was like really wacky in the later ones. All right. So, well, I could talk movies all day. I could talk Price is Right all day, but we're here to talk with Alex Hooper. And
it's actually Evelyn Hooper. Alex is a stage name.
Oh my God.
Evelyn Leslie Hooper.
That is so crazy. I feel so, psychic. That's really wild. I was on stage in Vegas last weekend chatting it up with a dude in the front row, and I'm like, and he says something about how he lives in Utah, and he goes, I used to live in California, but now I live in Utah. And I go, where did you live in California? Ukaipa? And the guy goes, yes. I was just making a dumb places that begin with a U sound joke. And it was actually where he is really from. But also,
I'm originally from Uganda, if you must know, Doug.
It's funny, too, because I tried to think of a third one. And I couldn't think of another one. I didn't pull Uganda, which would have been funny because he was, you know, obviously Ukaipa to Utah. We're not talking about somebody that could be mistaken for an Ugandan. all right. So we got some warm-up questions for you, but let's take a break first before we get to the warm-up questions and then the real questions and then the goodbyes. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. We are here with Alex Hooper, and if you're just joining us, that would be weird. Because, you know, what'd you do, fast forward just to this point? Doesn't make any sense. Warm-up question number one, Alex. How many tats are we talking about on your body?
I have zero because I have really bad skin and I'm terrified to get any additional things like done to it.
It's everyone we've had on this show. We have a lot of comedians, some actors and people in other fields, but it's, you know, mostly comedians, and they mostly either have, the answer is either zero or plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like, you know what I mean? They're either a tattoo person or they're not, basically. Like, nobody just has one.
Yeah, there's very few people that get one and then they're just like, well, that is everything I ever wanted and thought it would be. I am complete.
No, it really is like just anything where, like, you know, try to fix something a little bit and you keep chipping away at it until then you got another, you know, creates another problem. You got to fix that and, you know. Doug Mellard knows what I'm talking about. He's had some real, issues over the years, but at the same time, he'd never change a minute of it. He loves all of his ink.
Oh, good. You're not going to go Machine Gun Kelly on us, Doug, and then like black out your entire torso.
No, that is so nasty to me.
Yeah,
just like, oh
that
yeah,
much.
That section is just those are tattoos I didn't like, so it's just black now.
So weird.
Yeah.
Very strange move. Well, congratulations, Alex. I also have zero tattoos. And, you know, the plan is to stay the course. But it was, what would make you change your mind and decide to get one? Is there anything that could push you over the edge?
Well, for me, it's 100% skin based because I've had really bad. I just actually learned I've been calling it eczema my entire life. I just had a skin biopsy done and they're now saying it's psoriasis. But my skin is just gnarly. And so that's, if it was completely healed, there are a couple of things that I've had that I've really wanted. One of my pugs has an insanely long tongue that I think if I tattooed its actual size would take up my entire forearm. And I think that would be hilarious to just have an actual rendition of my pug tongue running down my arm. But yeah, mine is all, it's all, I was told by doctors, like by like dermatologists, you should not be doing anything extra to your skin.
I got caught up on the expression pug tongue.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Right? I just love those words together, pug tongue. Because especially if you say it fast a few times, it loses all meaning. But for a second, pug tongue to me sounds like you're accusing someone of having a short tongue.
Yeah. Well, in the case of my pug, it's an insanely long tongue that literally is so long he cannot keep it in his mouth.
Put that pug tongue away.
Yeah, there's actually a really good, while we're real quick, there's a really good subreddit called Blop, BLOP, and it's dogs that have their tongue hanging out of their mouth but they don't realize it's hanging out of their mouth.
Oh my god. That's amazing.
Yeah, if you just subreddit Blop, BLOP, that's all it is.
I've been seeing, you know, on social media, since I stop and look at it all the time, it's really, Instagram's really just feeding me, you know, cute animal things, especially dogs. And lately I've been seeing a lot of, you know, where there's a like a fence or something that a dog likes to stick its head through, you know, painting something on the fence and then taking a picture so the dog, you know, looks like it's, you know, a flower or whatever. And it's just the stuff, it just kills me. It's so funny. If I had a dog, I'd spend so much time coming up with stupid shit like that to do with it, much like what has happened to our friend Doug Mellard.
Is that Doug? Do you do those things?
He puts outfits on his dogs. He sure does.
Oh, yeah. She loves it though. People think that we're torturing her, but it's like some people will get like upset for her or be like, say like poor Penny, but she loves it. Like she's a working dog breed. She's like many she's a mutt, but she's a lot of working dog in her. And so she likes jobs. She likes doing stuff. She's a busy dog. And so it got to where there was a certain point we were doing it so much that like sometimes if you just pull out your phone to text somebody, if she was walking in front of your phone, she would freeze like, oh, is it go time? Let's do this. And she would like be ready to pose. It was so adorable. But yeah, no, she gets really into it because she gets attention. She's working. She likes that. And she gets, you know, a treat usually. So it's all her favorite things.
I fully support this.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. It really comes together. But that's, you know, that would be my life for sure. Would be too much thinking of weird things to do.
I mean, you're talking to a guy who made a pug yoga calendar, you know? So, yeah, 2018, there was literally a calendar I made that's me and one of my pugs doing yoga all over Los Angeles.
I forgot about it. It's so good.
Yeah. That was great. It made it all the way to the Ellen show.
Yeah.
What happened to it on the Ellen show? Did she just held it up and said,
yeah,
this is
it was
thing?
She did a segment. She used to do a segment every year, apparently, like, here are a couple of weird calendars you can buy at the beginning of the year. And she got a hold of Pug Yoga. And suddenly, next thing, I'm getting phone called. My phone's blowing up in the middle of the day going, you're on Ellen right now, shirtless. And I was like, what?
Oh, right, because you're in every picture.
Yeah, I'm in every single picture.
So what, does Ellen say anything specific about you, or was she just more just enjoying that it was a dog thing?
She definitely said something like, yeah, I think that the expression on the pug's face says everything about this calendar.
Tongue out all the time.
Yeah, we adopted her from Korea. She was such a little Zen master, and she would just, as soon as I would get into a pose, she would just climb on top of me and just sit perfectly still. It was very healing, very peaceful. And so Troy Conrad, I told him this idea of a pug yoga calendar, and Troy's like, why are we not doing this right now, Alex? that's all the motivation I needed was for Troy, who's a brilliant photographer and artist, to say, why are we not doing this? And I said, you're right. Let's go.
Why was there no, why only 1 year? Why not an annual new calendar?
It was a lot more work than I thought it would ever be.
Right? You can only sell them for 1 year or even just a few months.
That's the problem with it, is you have 2 months to sell a calendar. You have December and you have January, and that's it. And
why
I
not make one that you can, you know, like just change the, you know, change the year and all the calendar information, but the pictures stay the same.
I thought about that. I just kind of felt like we did really well on this one. And I'm one of those people who, if something works, like for better or worse, I go, okay, I did that. That's great. What else can I do now? And so people have asked me about it, and I've thought about it, doing at least using the same photos or something like that. And instead of doing a whole new, all new shoots, but you never know. It's always
how many
pocket.
People do you think saw or purchased the first calendar?
It was we printed 500 of them. and we sold
and
out.
Sold them all, right? Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, so only 500 people have had the pleasure of owning one. So as long as the dates are correct, you know what I mean? As long as you update the dates, there's always going to be people that come along that have never heard of this calendar but would be amused by it and purchase one, especially at your shows, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest
fear... I'm not trying
fear...
to push you into doing this. I'm just thinking out loud about how when you have a pro, you know, it's like how chia pets still sell, you know, because you know they'll make mild changes, or you could get the original, but either way, you know, there's still chia pets just because there's just new, you know, it's like the expression, there's a sucker born every minute. So it's just like new people. If you have a product that isn't, the trouble with the calendar initially is that it's only for that 1 year. But if you get rid of that issue, I would think in any given year, anybody would stumble upon it, find it to be cute and want to buy one. You know what I mean?
Fine, Dougs, I'll do it. Okay. God. Stop trying to make my career better.
Doug Bellard was, he was arguing the point with his mind, I guess, because he's agreed to both of us as if we are one, as if we are one idea. I was just going off because.
What is it? Hive mind? Doug mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything, if you stumble upon any kind of product that's got, you know, that's sort of evergreen, I think that there's maybe something to that, you know, because you just see some of these comedians or just anybody that creates anything, you know, they'll stumble into one thing and they can really milk it for a while. Have you ever, Alex, have you ever named any buildings, cars, boats, anything like that? Are you do you give inanimate objects or dwellings, vehicles?
I have names for everyone else's car. I would never name my own car, but when I see like, you know, when I see the BMW that parks next to me drive out of its spot, I say, oh, goodbye, Stanley. Have a good day out there.
You're just out there assigning names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I do. But no, I mean, I'm not one of those people. My car does not have a name. And my car doesn't even have a gender. Like every once in a while, I go, oh, good job, girl. And then I'm like, no, you're not a girl. You are whatever you would like to be, car. You're a spaceship. Identify as you wish.
Well, you know, guys like to give their cars, you know, very sexist. They either name it a girl's name, or, you know, it's always hilarious to name your car Christine, of course.
Sure.
You know, there's just like, there's all those variations. And then, like, you've never, you know, lived in the kind of home that you that has been given a name by you or somebody else.
No, that's never really, none of my parents never did it. My siblings never did it, as far as I know. Like, I don't know. I guess that's not something, I don't care about inanimate objects. And I think that's assigning a name to it shows that you have an attachment. And I've never been a materialistic person by any means. So I think that's why it's my car and I love it because it does its job and it gets me to where I need to be. And that's enough for me.
You've never had to name a yacht?
Oh, not quite yet. But that would be fun because then you get to do a fun little pun with it.
You do, right?
You know, exactly. Like, you know, hey, I'm on ecstasy in my yacht. I guess I'm rolling in the deep.
All right. So speaking of things you can name, what do you have a favorite, like, special or album, like just thing that you've created that you gave a name to it? Do you have a favorite name?
Yeah, that I can say, because my first album, done through A Special Thing Records, ever heard of them?
Yes.
So I have two actual albums out, and my first one, and because when I named it this, everyone goes, you're not really going to name it that, are you? Which made me go, yes, this is the perfect name. If everyone is saying that to me. And the album's name is Hugs, Drugs, Hugs.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
What kind of punctuation is in there?
Just periods. Hugs, period, drugs, period, hugs, period. Oh,
just
hugs,
like Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah, Hugs, Drugs, Pugs. And the reason people are like, why are you naming an album that? And I said, it's because it's based on the three things that opened my heart and expanded my mind.
Did we almost make the title?
What was that?
Did the Dugs almost make the title?
So close. That would have been the fourth, for sure.
Dugs, period, Dugs, period. Yeah, I think we just got the title for this episode.
Yeah,
because Hugs, every drugs, episode Dugs. Is a pun. Yeah, it's a Doug pun of some sort. So this is going to be Hugs, period, Dugs, period, Hugs, period, with Alex Hooper.
Yeah, I'm still insanely proud of that, and I just love the name of it. I just love everything about it, because I legitimately love all three of those things as well.
I think it's a terrific, it's a really good title, and I was watching on TV somewhere, they were talking about this movie that's out now, American Fiction. Have you seen that, Alex?
I saw a preview for it.
Oh, okay. Doug, you haven't seen it.
No, I have not.
No.
I watched Alex watch a preview of it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's who was looking through my window.
When they started making it, the star of the movie, Jeffrey Wright, and Cord Jefferson, the writer director, they wanted to call the movie, they just wanted to call it Fuck.
Whoa.
And they got talked out of it because somebody said to them, well, you know, we want people to be able to find this movie, and you know what happens when you Google fuck, right? you got a kind of an idea what would happen.
Well, you know, there's a band I love, and their name, it's three exclamation points. And what you say, and you say chick, 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 that's what they go by, is chick, chick, chick. But
oh God,
how would you know that just you looking wouldn't. At three exclamation points?
Yeah, that is just like, you know, I guess standard alphabetization, I guess it would go before A, but after like the highest number or something.
Yeah, I don't really know how it would work, but they are like, they're legitimately, like, they have a pretty good following, like enough that they sell out on most of their tours. So clearly they did something right. But that name is just so, like, why did you do that to yourselves?
You know, it's real rock and roll of them, I guess. You know, everybody has, those kind of stories. Do you have a title of anything that you regret making that the title?
Ooh, I don't think so. I think my titles are usually pretty well thought out, or at least timely to what I'm doing with the project. So no, I don't think I have anything where I look back and I'm like, ugh, not that.
Okay. I'm just going to put a little question mark down. Cause I do take notes.
You're like, then you start listing all of my accomplishments. You're like, really? You like this name, Alex? You thought this was a good idea?
Are you sure this was a good title? When you called that, you called your album Fucker. Let's get into your name one part at a time. Growing up, Alex, how would you say that was for you?
I always thought it was kind of boring. I never really thought like I fit with Alex. For some reason, when I was like a teenager, I always thought I looked like a Josh. And I don't know why. Couldn't tell you. But I thought Alex was just basic. Like, it was just like, I feel like my parents just like opened a boy name book and like stayed on the first page. They were like, what's on there? Andrew? No. Alex? Yeah, fine. Keep it, you know?
So it's not Alexander.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I am an Alexander technically.
Oh, okay.
That's the legal name. I only get called that when my mom is mad at me.
Yeah. Yeah, we find that's true of everybody, is that the longer versions tend to just go on. They retire those pretty early.
Yeah, normally she'd just be like, Evelyn, will you come down for dinner, please? And I'm like, Mom, it's Alex!
Okay, so Alex is... what do people do with that in childhood and adulthood when they want to give you a fun nickname? You know, like a lot of people, they just add a Y or IE, but that's Alexei seems like a weird thing for someone to call you.
Yeah, because I'm not a Russian gangster.
Yeah, they're not meeting you at the Olympics.
Right. So what? I mean, the thing is, my last name is so malleable and so easy to use for nicknames that no one ever did anything with Alex, because Hooper is just right there.
They just skip right over. Yeah.
Yeah. And Hooper lends itself to so many different things that, you know, you can just shorten it and call me Hoop. You can Hoop Sauce, Hooperino, Hoopsicord, scoop and Hoopin, like whatever. There's so many. And of course, I mean, when I was a kid, oh, Alex Hooper. Yeah, I'm like, oh, nice, good one.
yeah, the kids really know how to just, it's more about, you know, who's saying it and, you know, and with what tone. You know, because the biggest kid can get away with the most terrible puns and weird twists on a name that don't make any sense.
Of course.
Was Alex P. Keaton, was he a figure in your life?
Alex P. Keaton? I don't even know who that is.
That's why I asked. I didn't think you would. There was a time in my life when that was a massive name, because it was Michael J. Fox's name on Family Ties.
Oh, the sitcom. Okay.
Yeah, no. But also, I just thought, you know, a lot of times people know about something that was before their time just because the older people make reference to it all the time. Because to me, he's the most famous Alex I could think of just off the top of my head. Like, who's the most famous Alex you can think of? Doug Mellard?
I mean, Alexander the Great.
Well, I mean, we're already talking to a great Alexander. So that's redundant.
Mm-hmm. Trebek.
What about you, Alex? Have you ever went, oh, there's that, isn't there a baseball player?
I mean, Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Alex is one of those names where it is so common, but it has not necessarily like infected the famous people genre of things. Like if you were like, hey, there's got to be an actor named Alex that you can think of right off the top of your head. I'm like, I'm honestly struggling right now to come up with like Alex that
Alex Trebek is a huge one,
right? For sure. I'm thinking about specifically like a film or TV actor.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it right now. Weird. Alex.
Oh, Alex Winter, right?
Billy oh Trebek. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah,
but that's it.
But isn't that so weird? Because Alex is, I mean, it's a very common name, but
yeah.
Wow, maybe that's my career is not where I think it should be. I'm being held back by the Alexes that are in power that don't want me to rise to my true potential.
What about Alex Rose from Guns N' Roses?
That's Axel.
What about Alex Foley from Beverly Hills Cop?
Oh yeah, that's here. You go. Yeah, now we're thinking.
What about Alex Baldwin?
Shake some of the rust off that one.
Has anyone ever accidentally called you Alex? Accidentally?
Oh man, look at you. You're so always with your wordplay. That's why we get along, Doug.
But that doesn't happen though, does it, Alex?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm sure it has, but you know, that's an easy one just to. You know, I get a lot is Hooper turns into Cooper a lot, and then they go Alice Cooper.
He looks so weird. Oh my god! Can you imagine getting excited? You know, oh my god, Alice Cooper's here.
Yeah, Alex. No, that's literally happened to me, like, in interviews. Like, I heard Alice Cooper was coming in, and I freaked out. And then just I show up, and they're like, okay.
Oh, my God. It sounded like Chris Farley jumped on this call a second ago.
I mean, I can do a pretty – I grew up, I think, like, you could nail Chris Farley. So I do – I used to do a pretty mean Farley, for sure.
Yeah, I bet. I bet you can.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to eat bear claws two at a time. And they would get lost right here.
Oh man, that is good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I, you know, I cast impersonators.
Fantastic, because I live right next to Hollywood Boulevard and I'm currently seeking employment.
What's your middle name, Alex?
Michael.
Hey, like Michael Fox.
That's exactly okay. That's where my parents got it.
So Alex Michael Hooper, you've never — so Michael hasn't really played much of a part in your life other than when people get a chance to see your ID.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it's because as a kid, so Alexander means protector of men. Michael means godlike. So I used to just tell people I'm Hercules. That was my way of like explaining my name. And then they would see this fragile little flaky child and they'd be like, I don't think that's correct.
Well, before every show, I know I'm going to ask the guest what their initials are. So I always like write down an initial, what, you know, what their middle initial, you know, I write down what I hope it's going to be. And in your case, I was hoping that it would be M.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I thought of all of the initials, the one that, like, the initials for you that I think sets you up in your life path, if you will, is that, you know, AMP, amp means that, you know, amplification and amplifiers and amps would be a big part of your life.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's actually — I mean, that's a good way of thinking of it. I probably, if I didn't know me, I would have said it was AAH, because I feel like I'm just a relaxing breath of fresh air. Just
But that's so funny. I just for the purpose of what I wanted, I changed your last initial to —
I was gonna say, yeah, the P was just — I was just giving make the benefit work of the doubt on that one.
Yeah, AMH, that says — what is that? I'm —
yeah, I'm
lost. Something that Arnold Schwarzenegger would say. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger when he lifts something.
I'm out.
AMH. All right. So moving on from that calamity to the last name Hooper is, like you were saying earlier with the pooper, it's a fun last name, I think, probably. Was Mr. Hooper on the Sesame Street when you were growing up?
Yes, he was.
So did you kind of got called Mr. from time to time?
Yeah, Mr. Hooper's one of those names, like, you know, there's a Burt Reynolds movie named Hooper.
Yes.
Hooper's one of those names where it is not common enough that you hear it all the time, but it's believable enough that it's around our lexicon in a lot of pop culture.
Yeah. And it just, it rhymes.
Yep.
It's, you know, yeah, Hooper is — there was a, back when they were really, the TV networks were really excited about half hour dramedies, single camera dramedies. There was one with John Ritter called Hooper Man.
Hooper Man. Really? Yeah. I thought you were going to go the Norm MacDonald A Minute with Stan Hooper.
No, oh, yeah, but that's another one. But like, just Hooper is just like, yeah, it's just kind of a common name in, you know, when someone's writing a character, like the name Hooper is kind of evocative of, you know, like, I wouldn't think of it being like the villain, you know, I think it'd be like a friendly person would be named Hooper.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. It's funny when I explain it, when I tell it to people, like, they're like, what's your name? I'm like, Alex Hooper. And I always say Hooper. And if I'm at a festival, I'll be like a hula hooper. If I'm anywhere else, I say like a basketball player. Yeah. But the actual —
do you shoot hoops?
I have, yeah. I mean, I played for many years. I haven't in a long time, but I play tennis now. But
people didn't call you Hoops when you were playing basketball?
Oh, they did. For sure they did.
Okay. I was going to say, that's really low-hanging fruit.
Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you, the origin of the name is actually the Hoopers made the barrel rings back in the day.
Yeah. Those things that you don't want those to snap when you're going over Niagara Falls.
Exactly. Exactly right. That's how my great-granddad went.
Old-timey barrels, it's always going over the side of Niagara Falls in one, or the classic drawing of a man who's lost his clothes, so he's just walking around in a barrel.
Been there.
I mean, that's just hipster chic in Austin at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Austin, I'm going to be at South by Southwest all weekend long. Doing stand-up tonight, if you're listening to this right when the episode comes out, tomorrow. That's a confusing sentence. But anyway, doing stand-up the first night, and then on Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're doing Doug Loves Movies, taping at Esther's, downtown Austin. So come by. Bring a name tag if you want to get in for free without a South by Southwest badge. But before we do everybody else's plugs and get out of here, just really quickly, could you tell us the most important, the answer to the most important question that we ask all of our guests? And that's, tell us about the Dougs, if any, that you have known in your life. Have any Dougs made an impact on you?
Actually, here, you know what? You brought up such a great memory with me. When I was in college in Pittsburgh, and for 3 years, I worked on ducky tours, which were the World War II duck boats that tried. They don't really have them as tour boats anymore because a lot of children died. But I did that for 3 years, and one of the oldest captains was this guy, this the most Pittsburgh grizzled seafaring man you could ever imagine. His name was Doug Hornsperger, and he had this voice that would do this when he would be on the tour. And now we're gonna drive the duck into the water, and just the most like Pittsburgh-y ocean man that you could imagine. And I just, you know, I was like a 20-year-old kid. I just had a blast just like watching him chain smoke and listening to his stories. And that's a Doug that really made an impact on me.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And that'd be another good pun for the end of the show with the Doug tours.
The Doug tours.
Yeah. Doug, are you doing any tours? What do you got going on? Where are you go? You got any shows coming up anywhere or anything?
I'm a little out this month, but starting April 10th, I'm really excited about a show at Cap City here in Austin, Texas, with Eddie Gosling, who I love. I'll be opening for him. And then I'll be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival, also here in Austin. So get your tickets now.
Yeah, just get tickets for everything and you'll see it.
All of it. Get a badge.
Just go to the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, do it.
All right. And it's been a delight talking to you, Alex Hooper. What would you like to promote?
You know, follow me, hoopercomedy.com. I have shows this weekend. I'm in Tucson. I have a regular show at the Comedy Store called Perfect Dose. I'm always in LA. And then when I'm not, I'm touring a whole bunch. So, yeah, hoopercomedy.com, at Hooper Hair Puff on all social media. And go listen to Hugs, Drugs, Pugs, Dougs, the additional track now listed. I have a couple albums on Spotify, a couple specials on YouTube, all kinds of fun stuff.
Right on. Thanks, dude. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And, you know, there's no suspense in what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. As always, hugs, Dougs, hugs.
Got it.